Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at rewfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving so far. Tomorrow I'll be at the Bryce Jordan Center starting at 3 o'clock with our show from the BJC. The entire gang will be there. Sarah, Buhner, Kevin Herr, Kevin's kid. All of us there together. Kevin says something. Why I always get abused like this? Come on. He's terrific. Like being around him very, very much. But it'll be the entire gang tomorrow. And we're looking forward to it. We're going to do the show from 3 to 4 tomorrow at the Jordan Center. Then I'm on the air at 4 o'clock with Dick Girardi. Looking forward to seeing DJ again. We've talked, I think, what, 5 times already this week? And we'll be on at 4 tomorrow. And then 4:30 will be the tip-off for Penn State and Bucknell. Then Jack Ham joins me on Saturday, 3:30, the kick with Wisconsin, 2 o'clock the airtime. Very appreciative, by the way, the Dave Paulson for the time he gave us, Bill O'Brien, and Patrick Chambers for the time they've given us that we heard in the last half hour of the show. Now, this half hour of the show, we're going to hear Darrell Clark, the former Nittany Lion quarterback, and the guy that's been breaking his records, Matt McGloin. We'll hear from them in this half hour. And eventually we'll get around to Big Ten expansion as well. Today's show is being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Jack Ham, when he's been down here in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, nicknamed it the Chateau. That's right. We're here at the Chateau on this Thanksgiving Day. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, you can always go to lenapesolar.com. And now let's dial out on the Lenape Solar Hotline in this Thanksgiving Day to one of my favorites, Big Ten Player of the Year in 2009. Led the Nittany Lions to a Big Ten championship in 2008 and to the Rose Bowl. Led them to a Capital One Bowl victory over LSU and Les Miles and in the 2010 Capital One Bowl. And a guy who also took my class. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Darrell Clark. It is great to have you on board, my friend.
Good to hear from you as well. Thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, suddenly out of nowhere, the Clark records are dropping like flies. You look back, you look at a kid like Matt McGloin, who was a scout team quarterback when you were the starting quarterback here. Did you see anything in him back then at all, DC?
I tell you what, this is what I saw, man. I saw a kid that came in, had a lot of ambition, a lot of fire for the position, that quarterback. And he was just waiting for his shot, and he got it. And one thing that I've noticed from him is that he put in the time. He worked very, very hard to get to the position that he's in today. You know, and last week I watched the game, and I said, you know what? I knew if everything went as planned and they were as successful as they've been this entire season, this day was going to come. He was going to come close to breaking the record, the touchdown record, and, he lit the charts up with the passing yards, man, you know, and I want to congratulate him because I remember him, like you said, when he was a freshman, to how he's grown to be a leader of that football team. I'm very happy for him.
Now, for you, you mentioned how Matt McGloin waited his turn. You waited your turn, and then you quarterbacked this team to a Big Ten championship, then you quarterbacked this team to another 11-win season and a big win over LSU. Getting used to the speed of the game within the framework of the offense, can you give the audience an idea of the difficulty in that?
Well, it's definitely tough. You think at the very beginning, coming in as a freshman, you see nothing but a bunch of jerseys just flying all over the place, and all you're trying to do is find the open guy and remember where your wideouts are going to be, and you're studying the playbooks, and you're drawing the plays in your head before the snap and everything. So it all comes with time and repetition. And eventually, once it gets to that point, it slows down for you, and you're able to play the football that you were able to play, that you set out to do at the very beginning. And that happened with me. It took me some time. I got comfortable with my guys and the coaching and what we're trying to get accomplished on offense. And the same thing that happened with McGloin. And I take my hat off for him because he was a part of the offense that I ran. And then obviously things happened to where he had to learn a totally different offense. And for him to do what he's done in a year's time is remarkable.
You were part of a highly successful offense in 8 and 9, highly successful. I mean, with great receivers and a great quarterback running the show. You watch this offense now with what Bill O'Brien does, and you watch games on Sunday. How excited are you for the future of Penn State football for a quarterback that gets a chance to run this type of offense?
I'm very excited, given the amount of time that they had to put it together. You know, they sputtered out of the gate at the very beginning, but now they're a well-oiled machine. And, you know, Coach O'Brien has done a remarkable job with the football team, keeping their morale up with what's happened to them. And, you know, my hat goes off for those guys. But I'm excited for the offense in general for the future. But any quarterback that winds up playing, I think they're grooming up Stephen Bench now, so I'm excited for him as well. He shows a lot of upside. And the thing I like about the offense, they're getting everyone involved. There's not one receiver that doesn't have a catch. They have multiple tight ends making catches and touchdowns on top of that. And with all that being said, with the pass game, they're running the ball very well, you know, and it's just great to see. To be able to throw the ball as much and still be balanced on the ground is great to see. And I just look forward to how it's going to pan out for the next coming years.
2009, you had to run through that tunnel for the final time in your career. Can you describe the emotions that these players might be feeling on Saturday?
Well, it'll be bittersweet. I'll tell you that right now. You know, it's sweet. After everything that you guys have been through, you got a chance to come out of the tunnel one more time with your soldiers, with your teammates, with your coaches, and those fans that's been there for you from the beginning, ever since you're a freshman to the time that you are a senior. But it'll be bitter because it's like, wow, once you go through that tunnel, that's the last time you're going to be able to do it with a blue and white uniform on it. So emotions will be running high. I can date back. I'm a walking testament of it. I mean, I was so excited to get the game going, but at the same time, I was sad because it's the last time I'm going to put it together at Beaver Stadium. So emotions will run high. They'll have to channel it and bottle it up as much as possible to get the job done. Yeah,
Darryl,
you don't want to end your seniors.
Darryl, when you look at this team, these kids right here were freshmen, sophomores, your final 2 years here. You can't tell how it's going to play out, but did you see something in them that would then be exposed as leaders at this stage of their lives?
That's a great question. I really didn't, because you, just like me, I really didn't know what to expect this year. You know, you got a group of guys that don't really know exactly what's going to happen with them for the rest of the season. Are these guys going to come out and play hard for the pride of the university? Or are they going to fold the tent knowing that no matter how hard they play, it won't mean anything, you know? And I thought that they did a really good job of throwing everything aside, sanctions and all, and bonding together and playing for old glory, man. And I'm proud to see it.
Well, Darryl, you're part of a proud legacy of Penn State football. You certainly did your part to carry it to this point. They certainly picked up the torch. I know that they're proud of what you accomplished. I know you're proud of what they accomplished, and we appreciate the time you gave us.
Oh, man, it was a great time. I enjoyed all 5 years, and, you know, I'm so proud to be a part of the Penn State family and years to come.
DC, thanks so much.
Darryl Clark, a special guy, a very special guy. And means a lot to the Penn State football program, what he was able to accomplish. Set records, won a Big Ten championship, won a couple of big bowl games. He was a big reason why they beat Texas A&M in the Alamo Bowl. And obviously, he was the MVP of the Capital One Bowl when Penn State beat LSU on January 1st, 2010. So very, very special indeed Darryl Clark. We appreciate, obviously, the time that he gave us, and very, very much to hear from Darryl Clark. Took my class as well and did really well, by the way. I should point out, in that class, he did really, really well. What about the guy that broke his records? Matt McGloin. Matt McGloin has put together really an outstanding career when it's all said and done. Look, he's had his critics. We know he's had his critics, especially after the Outback Bowl game with Florida when he threw the five interceptions. Oh, the critics were out of the woodwork left and right. He didn't play well. He didn't have a good game. But you know what? When you look back on it, okay, he's had very few mediocre games in his career, and he was just a kid at the time when he played that game. This season, he has 23 touchdown passes and five interceptions. If at the beginning of the season, fans asked me on this show, what would I judge the success of Matt McGloin to be stat-wise? And I told the fans on this show that if he had 20-plus touchdown passes and single-digit interceptions, that's what I would consider to be success for Matt McGloin in this season. I mean, that's what I would consider to be success for Matt McGloin in this season. Matt McGloin had a chance to talk with the media about what he's accomplished so far and about this game with Wisconsin on Saturday. And then Jordan Hill and Stephon Morris.
It's just all about repetition and putting your work in. You know, it wasn't easy early on. It was at times it was difficult to even say the play call in the huddle. But just constant communications, constantly practicing it, just doing the little things, just sitting at home reading out the plays, saying the plays, and throughout all summer just going over with your linemen and your wideouts, formations, routes, things like that. And it just all comes down to repetition. And we've taken a lot of reps. We still take a lot of reps at practice. And no, that's why we've gotten so good with it and so comfortable with it. Well, that's what we're trying to do, especially the senior class, is just leave this place off on a high note. Finishing with 8 wins is a successful season for us, and it has been a successful season no matter what. But leaving with 8 wins definitely sends the rest of the team off into the offseason on a high note, willing to work and willing to get anxious and play next year. I came here without a scholarship, and I've just always, approached practice each and every day like it's my last, because, in the past, if I didn't perform well on Tuesday and Wednesday, I don't know if I was going to play Saturday. So I've always approached, the week like each day is like my last day. And if that's, one thing I can try to relay to those guys is that don't take it for granted and play each and every game like it's your last and practice as hard as you can every day. Until they tell me I can't play anymore, and then I'll hang it up. Like I said, we'll pursue it until then, and I'll keep pushing, keep working, keep fighting, and until that day comes where they tell me I can't play anymore, and that'll be it. The way Allen has performed this season is statistically one of the greatest seasons a Penn State Wildcats ever had. So he's really done a great job. He's really put the time in and the effort in. And, for the past few weeks, it's been, to get the ball into 8's hands and let him make plays, and that's what you have to do. I think Saturday showed you the type of wideout he could be, and he's got a bright future here. Well, he's done a remarkable job here in such a short time to do what he has done, to make this place as special as it is and have the support from everyone around him. It's truly a great thing. You only known him for 10 short months, but you feel like you know him for so much longer than that. And what he's done with this program, it's something that I'll never forget.
He's a good back. One of the best. Not only in the Big Ten but the country. He's a guy that can run you over, and then he's a guy that can make you miss. So, it's a big challenge for us, but I think we're up to the task. It's crazy how quick it's going, but I'm able to still be able to go out there and play one more game. So, it's really an honor to be able to put on, the blue and white one more time. It's going to be a lot of people that's going to be emotional. I know I'm going to be one of them, you know. Everything that we've gone through our whole careers, you know, it's coming to an end. It's, you know, it's bittersweet. I'm going to try and fight back the tears as hard as I can, but I know it's not going to happen. You know, I know my mom just, she said something to me earlier today. You know, she was like, I can't imagine how you're going to be on Saturday after the game. She was like, you bought after your state championship game your senior year, not because you won, because it was over for you, you know. So, and, you know, this is much bigger up here at Penn State.
That's Jordan Hill, by the way, and what a great career he's had.
Not really think about the legacy, but, you know, we know it's important, and, you know, we know how much, you know, it's really meant, but not till it's actually over. It might not hit me for a couple years until I notice, you know, what we really did, you know, or it might be something where I might not notice until, you know, my kids or, you know, my grandkids ask me, like, how was it when I had to go through this situation? You know, it really could have been the best decision I've made so far in my life. Not only, you know, on the field I've gotten better, but off the field. Just going through the certain situations that we went through, it's made me a better person. It's made me a better person for, you know, my life down the road. You know, I'll be able to tell my story of what I've gone through and, you know, how the team has overcame that.
Well, that was defensive tackle Jordan Hill. I know he'll get one vote for first team All Big Ten. Okay, defensive back Stephon Morris. Quite an interesting story for him to tell.
I'm impressed with the offense. How huge, how physical the offensive line play is. They have a great receiver at number four, Abadarius, I believe that's his last name. Pretty much the same Wisconsin offense, just minus the Russell Wilson from last year. But still a great team, still have some great guys over there, especially Monty Ball at number four. But it's going to be a really physical game, one of the more physical games that we have played this season. I was just thinking to myself, wow, this. I have one more time walking out of the tunnel with my team, running to my family, in front of a great student section, in front of a great crowd, in front of a great alumni, in front of a great coaching staff. You know, it's just crazy because when everything happened this fast all season, I was one of the ones who was saying, I can't wait around that tunnel for Ohio. And now this is my last game, you know. Last time with the seniors, last time with the team, last time with Coach O'Brien on that field. It's going to be very emotional, you know, kind of like bittersweet. It's going to be a great feeling. I remember this moment for the rest of my life. But, you know, I just kind of wish it didn't come this fast. You know, these 13 weeks in the season have been kind of like a jet plane, you know. Every week just seemed like it just get faster and faster. But as far as, like, emotion on the team, I don't know. I talk to a lot of guys. A lot of guys might tear up. I know I'm going to tear up. Just the respect I have for this program, everything that we've been through, how far I have came along, you know. I'm going to tear up. The adversity that we face, you know, if you look at the guys that we have on our team, like Michael Marty, Gerald Hodges, just name a few guys, they're really tough-nosed guys, you know. Can't run away from adversity. You got to look it eye to eye. And that's not what we're about. We're not trying to run away from anything. And we had a lot of guys that look up to us, you know, whether it's the community or the younger guys. If we'd broke this thing apart, who's to say Penn State would have had a team this year? So we came a long way, and I really don't expect any of those guys to leave next year. I really don't. Coach O'Brien, man, he's a hell of a coach. So much support in that coaching room, so much support with you guys, so much support with everyone, you know. So I really don't expect anyone to leave. I expect everyone to be back. And everyone just to keep fighting.
That is Stephon Morris. Mike, Matt McGloin, Jordan Hill, Stephon Morris, and Daryl Clark. Not a bad half hour. Next half hour, we'll look at Big Ten expansion. Rutgers and Maryland are in. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Next half hour, Big Ten expansion. Maryland and Rutgers are in. Coming up, news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our tire rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Then stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. sunburymotors.com. The winning team.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's great to have you with us on this Thanksgiving Day. Been an interesting show so far, and we're not quite done yet. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484, or you can visit online at rewfinancial.com. I'm here in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors says happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Tomorrow we take the show on the road to the Bryce Jordan Center. The entire gang will be there. Sarah, Buhner, Kevin, all of us, Drew Kelly, will all be at the Jordan Center tomorrow. Penn State and Bucknell. Penn State Sports Network broadcast will be on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow, beginning at 4 o'clock with the pregame show, the Chesapeake Energy tip-off show with head coach Patrick Chambers, to be followed by the tip-off at 4:30. Then Saturday, I'll be joined by Jack Hamm as the Nittany Lions take on Wisconsin in the season finale at Beaver Stadium. 3:30 the kickoff. 2 o'clock the airtime for the Chesapeake Energy kickoff show, the Dietz and Watson tailgate show outside of the Jordan Ticket Center at 2. And they're requesting that the fans, for those of you going to the stadium, to be in the stadium by 3 o'clock tomorrow. That's when the seniors are going to begin to be honored. There'll be 31 Nittany Lion football seniors plus 3 managers running through that tunnel for the final time. And they're requesting that the fans be in their seats on Saturday by 3 o'clock. It's been an historic week for the Big Ten. The Big Ten dramatically and unexpectedly, based on information a week ago, expanding. Going to 14 schools. Maryland was invited on Monday, and the Big Ten unanimously approved it once Maryland approved it. And that gave the Big Ten 13. And after that, they went to New Jersey, and Rutgers was unanimously approved by the Council of Presidents in the Big Ten. So 2 unanimous approvals to go with the unanimous one with Nebraska. And Maryland starts July 1st, 2014. There's a $50 million exit fee from the ACC, but that may be negotiated down. Rutgers does not have a timetable yet, and the reason for that is there's a $10 million buyout in the Big East, but there's also a 27-month buffer that would have to be fulfilled. So if you offer more money, and you would expect Rutgers to do that, you can get that reduced the way West Virginia did with the Big 12 and Syracuse and Pitt with the ACC. So that's why the date not yet determined, but expect Rutgers realistically to also be there on July 1st, 2014. Jim Delaney had a chance to talk with the media about the expansion and took several questions on this along the way. One of the questions that he was asked right off the bat dealt with the fees that the Big Ten will now garner. The footprint expanding by 16 million households between Baltimore, D.C., and New Jersey. 16 million households. The fees end up being tripled when you're in a Big Ten state. Now, for you as the consumer, it's just cents on the dollar. But it all adds up for the conference when there are 16 million households involved. And Jim Delaney addressed that.
Let me just say that, you know, the Big Ten conference is a conference of tradition. It's had a great history. This is our 117th season, and as I look at where we've been and where we're going, I would postulate the following. You know, we have great universities that sponsor sometimes modest teams, sometimes good teams, and sometimes great teams, but our universities are always terrific places. And our success has been in part, in large part, powered by the demographics of the Midwest. We had an industrial sector. We had a great breadbasket of America. And demographics change and shift. That wouldn't necessitate us changing one iota. But you know that there's been a lot of change in intercollegiate athletics in the last decade. And one of the paradigm shifts relates to conferences moving beyond their boundaries. We stayed with 11 institutions for 21 years. So obviously we were cautious and conservative. After some debate and discussion, we added Nebraska, and we were quite happy to do that. We actually explored expansion through a collaboration with the Pac-12. Benefits of expansion without really getting out of our footprint didn't work. We continue to see these kinds of moves. Every one of the 5 conferences is outside their natural footprint. We looked at that and we thought, you know, we need to explore how we might become larger. And when we looked around, we realized that there's this corridor rich with people, great political institutions, great media institutions, great financial institutions, great high schools, great, and yet it's a very competitive corridor. And so when we reached out and had discussions with Maryland, you have to be straight on it and say, well, what does it mean for them and what does it mean for us? In the context of what it means for both of us, you know, we don't know where television will be 10, 15, 20 years down the road, but we do know that fan bases matter. We do know that demographics rich with people with great institutions matter. And so I'm sure that we'll have conversations and you know, we'll look to enhance the distribution of the Big Ten Network. We're available in 92 million homes. We're probably in 53. We're in 26 countries, and we're available globally wherever high-speed Internet exists. So that's obviously part of the calculation, but you would not go there unless A, that there's been a paradigm shift, and B, you had a great partner to do it with. And so we think both of those things have led us to where we are. And so I think, as a subset, you know, to your question, an answer to your question, it's a very relevant factor, but it's not why you do something. It's a, it's kind of an accompanying reason to get out of your footprint.
Right, Jim, if I guess. We have to every commissioner when this happens, or just, you know, concern about damage that might be done to other leagues, particularly the Big East.
Yeah, you know, these are friends and their colleagues. I guess what I can say best is, you know, we've tried to be restrained over the last decade. As I mentioned, we spent 20 years at 11, and when we and at the time Penn State was largely an independent. And then when we went with Nebraska, we avoided any impact in established leagues. The Big 8, Big 12 was coming apart. Four institutions left within weeks of each other. And so, you know, we're conscious of that. I would have to say, though, that there we did the collaboration with the Pac-12, hoping to get some of the benefits of expansion without any damage to anyone else. And to be honest, you know, it doesn't... there is a fact, there is an impact, and if you don't acknowledge the impact, you're not, you know, being straight. I wish it weren't the case, but obviously you have had lots of change in the Big East. Most of it has been a function of change, desire change by the ACC, but also the Big East has then reached out and impacted many, many other conferences. So it's not the nicest side of what we're dealing with. It's a fair question, and I would say, you know, to the extent that anybody's hurt in the process, I wish that weren't the case. But I would also say institutions pursue their own destiny, and conferences can be receptive or not, and we've been cautious and conservative as we try to make our changes and mitigate that as best we could.
That's good. Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Jones of Harrisburg Patriots News.
Hi, Jim. Living in the 95 corridor, I constantly encounter naysayers among fans who believe this area can never, will never switch from a pro-dominated area into something that can really entertain a healthy interest in college sports. So, what I don't necessarily believe that, but what do you say to that?
I think it's going to be a challenge. I think it's a fair statement to say that you know, that corridor hasn't embraced college sports, especially college football, with the exception probably of Penn State, like it's been embraced in the Midwestern part of the country. But I also would say that I'm not sure there's been a strategy to address that. I'm not a pessimist or an optimist by nature. Try to be realistic. But I really do believe that both that the University of Maryland is, if you were looking at it as an asset, is a buy and a hold, because I think that they've got a ceiling here that hasn't been approached recently, but can be a very, very nationally competitive football environment. Why? Because they've got great tradition, because they're in a great population area, because there are a lot of great players here. And I honestly think we can help them achieve that. I think they can help us achieve things. But when you introduce Penn State into the equation, and today's Maryland's day, but there may be other considerations that will assist us in really building a presence in this corridor. Maryland is Maryland, and Penn State is Penn State, and I do believe that together, that we're a conference that now lives in two areas of the country, one Midwestern, one Mid-Atlantic, and that we together have an opportunity to have an impact. I don't say reverse people's loyalty toward the Jets or Giants, but I know in Chicago, and I know in Detroit, and I know in Cleveland, that we're able to identify a followership, that we're able to be successful, and whether it's in the Green Bay Packers or whether it's the Vikings or whether it's the Bears, they also love their college sports, and I think we can build that same base in this area.
It's part of the philosophy that if they're just exposed to a league where college football is so important, where there are 90 and 100,000 people coming to games, that can shift around the whole template.
It's really more than that. I mean, it's basically concept of contagion and synergy, where you bring parts that have never really interfaced before, and you build them together, and you market them together, and you build experiences and loyalty and quality. You know, there's some great venues this way. I think television plays a part in it, licensing, marketing. I think academic interface. I think that while it's very natural for people to reject and push change away, and Maryland and the ACC have had a great history, I think over time we're going to be able to build a foundation. I think we've got to be sensitive to how people feel, but I also think that there's going to be a new opportunity for all the parties to really enhance ourselves and really provide the public in this area exposure to maybe some college football they hadn't seen before.
Thanks, Jim.
Your next question is from Stuart Mandel of Sports Illustrated.
Jim, when you guys expanded in 2010, I think Big Ten fans were generally excited, especially when it turned out to be a traditional power like Nebraska. In the 48 hours since this news came out, the reactions I've had on email, Twitter, whatnot, would be somewhere between anger and apathy. You've expressed very clearly why this benefits the conference in the future, but in terms of the present, how do you sell this to the fans who, you know, will be seeing some of their rivals less often now, will be making certain road trips less often, and, you know, obviously weren't, not to disrespect Maryland, aren't, you know, necessarily pining to have them on their schedule?
Yeah. Well, you know, Stuart, there are a variety of views on it. I see it as a long-term play for Maryland, for the Big Ten. I'm not suggesting that staying status quo is not sometimes the most comfortable approach in life. But I will tell you that Nebraska made sense in its way, Penn State made sense in its way, and I think Maryland makes sense in its way. It is a great university with great resources, located in the corridor, rich with very important things to support a university, to support a conference collective effort. And to be honest with you, I just disagree with the viewpoint expressed. I respect it, but I respectfully disagree. I think the upside here is terrific, and I think that we've got 500,000 Big Ten people living in this corridor, and the University of Maryland has got hundreds of thousands of alumni in this corridor. It's a global university, and it's connecting up as a major flagship in an adjacent state to other great major flagships. And I actually see 1 and 1 equals 3, but I've been in the minority before, and sometimes I've been right, and sometimes I've been wrong, and I appreciate people's point of view.
And a quick follow-up, will this cause you, as a conference, to maybe reevaluate going to 9 conference games?
I think more games is on the table. I've said before, one of the reasons we stayed at 11 and then we stayed at 12 was because we love to play each other more, not less. We have a great conference made up of not only great institutions, but integrated rivalries, integrated markets. We're going into new markets that are not integrated. We're going to build integrated rivalries. We're going to create experiences, and we're going to continue to collaborate academically. But to do that, it may require more games, because I think that our fans want to see these games, and while they may not, the Maryland fans may not be used to Northwestern, or they may not be used to Iowa or Ohio State or Michigan, I think when we bring those schools here and when the alumni from Maryland and their fan base get exposed to ours, I think there's going to be an embrasure. And I think it's going to be an enthusiastic embrasure.
Jim, could I just add, this is Britt Kerwin, somebody who's been at the University of Maryland a long time. One of our great football rivalries, looking back in history, was Penn State.
Yeah.
And there was great dismay in Maryland when Penn State went to the Big Ten, and we can no longer play them in football. So, you know, it's not like we don't have some connections there in the Big Ten that are that'll be very meaningful to our institution.
Yeah.
And that is Britt Kerwin from the University of Maryland. So that was on Monday. Jim Delaney took care of that. And then on Tuesday, everyone knew this was going to happen. That's when Rutgers was then brought into the fold. Now, Rutgers a little more ambiguous as the timetable getting in, because they're going to have to negotiate their way financially to make it work. But expect them to be also in on July 2014, once they pay a little bit more than that $10 million exit fees, is 27-month buffer. They'll get that reduced to 19 months and get in by July 1, 2014. But they have to officially do it. And when they were invited, Jim Delaney talked about what Rutgers brings to the table.
Thank you. It's great to be back home. I left here in 1966 to go to school in Chapel Hill. I've got sisters and brothers who are still living here. My mom and dad lived here until they passed, and so I would only come back to visit. But it's full circle for me to be back here today to, on behalf of our presidents and chancellors, acknowledge their unanimous and enthusiastic acceptance of Rutgers' application to join the Big Ten Conference. And so on a professional level and a personal level, it's very meaningful to me. A lot of you are probably looking at my R. You know, I'm a partisan on certain days, and today I'm all Rutgers. Yesterday I was all Maryland. When I go back home, I'll be a nonpartisan, at least for the remainder of the football season. You might think I'm a little colorblind with my colors here. But this is in recognition of St. Benedict's Prep, where I went to school, where my father went to school, and where my grandfather went to school, as well as my cousins. So I want to have a shout out to St. Benedict's Prep that does a phenomenal job in Newark, New Jersey. Let me just say a little bit about this partnership, how it came to be. There's been a lot of change and turmoil in intercollegiate athletics over the last decade. The Big Ten is in its 117th football season, so we've been around the block for a while. I think we're noted for our traditions and our partnerships. And to be honest with you, we're slow to change in some regards, but also hopefully pivot towards opportunities when they present themselves. And so 22 or 23 years ago, Penn State became a member of the Big Ten, and we pretty much stayed with 11 institutions for two decades. And, you know, what does 11 mean? I don't know what it means. It's not an easy number to schedule around. It's a prime number. And beyond that, I'm not sure it's a great number to build structure around. But we were very comfortable with that number. But as times change and evolve, college athletics grew slightly larger. And most of them, you know, developed into 12-team conferences, 12 institutions. And, you know, a couple years ago, we decided to look. In that process of looking, you know, we found a great partner in Nebraska. And the fit has been comfortable. At the time, conferences started looking at more than 12 members. You know, our response to that was to try to establish a collaboration with a Pac-12 conference and to get some of the benefits of expansion without really going beyond, because we really thought that conferences are best that play each other most, and to build those traditions and build those experiences and build those rivalries. And if anything, I think the partnerships in the Midwestern part of the country have been predicated on repetition, have joint experiences, joint markets, and that worked for well for us. That wasn't possible. But what we saw happening around us was most of the major conferences moving out of their historic boundaries. And, you know, we thought that we needed to at least be aware of what the potential was. And as we looked around our neighborhood and out of our neighborhood, we recognized that Rutgers was not only a great institution, but was an institution that we had a lot in common with. And we wanted to reach out. Tim and I have known each other for probably 15 or 20 years. And in the last round, we got to know each other a little bit better. And while we stopped at Nebraska, we looked at a larger structures. He said, let's just keep in contact. Let's just keep talking. I said, yeah, you keep me informed. I will keep you informed. And so there was no real beginning to this conversation. This is a conversation that's played out over 3 or 4 years. Me keeping him apprised of how we were thinking, and him keeping me apprised of how Rutgers was thinking. So at a certain point, Bob came to the table. We're able to really discuss what their dreams were, what their vision was. We were able to talk about what we were trying to accomplish. And our presidents authorized what I would describe as an initiative to take Penn State, use it as a bridge into the East. And so the net result was we had conversations with the University of Maryland. We had conversations with Rutgers. And that's essentially where we were focused. And if we could achieve that, we thought that our future was not only in our region, but also in the eastern Mid-Atlantic region.
Amazing. The Penn State Bridge. There it is again. He mentioned it 24 times this week, the Penn State Bridge and what it meant to expansion and many more dollars down the road. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com from the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keita Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And happy Thanksgiving from Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. The entire gang tomorrow at the Jordan Center for Penn State and Bucknell. We'll talk to you at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Sarah, Kevin, and me, happy Thanksgiving from all of us to you.